Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this edition of Bullring Breakdown. Just want to thank you all for joining us this week. Like, rate 5 stars, Spotify, subscribe on the YouTube page, TikTok at Woodhall Raceway 64. And this week I am joined by hometown excavation driver Kyle Leach. Kyle, how you doing?
Good, doing good.
Good. So I gotta ask you, I know that you put on there that you're not going to make it this week. Are your plans after this week to run weekly at Woodhall, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm gonna run weekly this week. I should be there if all goes to plan. Start our season Saturday, and if the rain holds off, and yeah, should be good to go. Should be there all year this year.
I was gonna ask you about that. Are you guys dry down there where you are? Because I know last year you guys ran into some trouble.
Yeah, so far I live in Canisteo, of course, and the river got close. It was about 6 foot from the top of the dike, but so far so good. I guess the amount of river that they cleaned, I guess, at least helped it from yeah, backing up. But yeah, so far so good.
Right. So last year, I know you guys, I don't know, was it just your basement that got flooded, or was it pretty much the whole thing?
Yeah, so it came over the top of the dike and came into my yard, flooded my shed, got my four-wheeler, lawnmower, stuff like that, came right up to the edge of the foundation, maybe a foot, and stopped. I was like, holy crap, that was awesome.
Well,
But
yeah, I mean, a four-wheeler and stuff, that's kind of,
yeah,
grand
that
scheme of
sucked.
things, that's pretty replaceable,
Yes, yep.
So if I'm not mistaken, you got a new to you piece this year. I think you picked up the Tim Guild car.
Yep, his old, it would be the white, it's white, black, and orange and red. He ran it 2023, I think was last time. It's a 21 Higfab, way newer than my old car. My old car was a 2015 Bicknell, and after I got done with it, it was pretty used up. So it was I swapped my parts off that, upgraded a little bit, and yeah, everything fit all right. So yeah,
Right.
hopefully.
Well, and he took good care of it too. If something
Oh
needed to be done, he did it.
yeah, you go in his shop and he's been helping me out a lot this year with setup and stuff. You go in his shop and like every bolt is like in its proper place. He's got coffee cups labeled with everything. It's impressive. It's impressive how much work he puts in. It kind of like kicks me in the butt. It's like, yeah, you gotta do better if you're gonna keep up with him.
Right. Well, he's been at it for a very long time, and I guess learning from him probably is a pretty good place to start, because I would imagine if you're gonna race, if you're gonna race locally, I know Woodhull and Outlaw, he's probably the guy to talk to.
Yes, yep, he is.
So I want to is now was your old car, was that on, are they were they both coils or bars or what?
So when it's a long story. We bought the old car we bought from oh God, I can't think of the guy's name. It's way out by Albany. And it was set for torsion bars. We turned it into coils. I
Okay.
welded the mounts on and everything. And yeah, it seems like that's the way everyone's going. But
Right, so you're not really having a learn too big of a learning curve then with the chassis.
right. Yeah, I know nothing about torsion bars at all. My buddy Ryan, Tracy, he taught me everything I know right now. And yeah, he's really good with torsion bar stuff, but I'm like, I couldn't even tell you anything about him really.
Yeah,
Never set
and
one up or.
right. I wanted to actually ask you about him. That's Ryan Tracy. I know he drove a modified, and I think he drove a sportsman before that, but that would have been before I really remember. And
Yeah.
now, is that kind of where you got started? Were you just helping him out, or?
So, I guess the first when I actually started racing, was at Rathbone Raceway and go-karts when I was like 5 or 6. Lance McKeg took me on a ride in his go-kart, and then the next week I don't think I stopped asking my dad for a go-kart the whole week, and we came back with one. And then Doug Tracy, Ryan's dad, brought him to the track to watch me. And the next week he had a go-kart. So I got him into racing, and his parents don't ever let me forget it. And yeah, so that's how we got started. And then I just kind of helped him out every other, when I could on Saturdays. But yeah, he's taught me everything I know about it. The car wouldn't ever be done without him. He's like the backbone of the operation.
Right. I'm not gonna lie. I might have told you this, but I know I can call my dad right now if you want me to. But I've always said that if I ever became a millionaire, Ryan Tracy would be the one I'd put in my modified if I owned a team, because
Yeah, he's a hell of a driver.
I've always thought that he was very smooth, and if he and he you know he never. I guess he never got too big for his britches, you know. He'd always take care of the equipment, and maybe that's kind of you're kind of cut of the same cloth, you know. Maybe that's kind of the low budget. You kind of have to, but I always said
Yeah.
that if I could, I would put him in one.
Yeah, like he always tells a story. There's when he was running crates, when he was 15, he had this week where he like 3 weeks in a row, he either broke a front end or rear end. And he was like, whatever, race is fun, no big deal. Parents are paying for it. But then like he was just telling me the other week, he's like, now I realize like when it's your money, it's like you gotta take care of everything you can. None of us are millionaires at Woodhull. But yeah, he's a hell of a driver. He let me run his modified for hot laps once, and yeah, it was awesome. I wish he could have one season of just really nice equipment, and I think he would like, yeah, everyone would see what we're talking about. He's
That's what I've always thought that about him. I always thought that if you put him in one of these higher budget teams, I'd
yeah.
love to see what he could do, because he is a very good driver. And
Yeah, and there's a
so
couple guys like that. Brian Doolittle, very good driver, very smooth, very clean. I think he was running torsion bars last year. He might have switched to coils, but he's a hell of a driver too. There's a couple guys over there that you just wish you could give the big money to. Like even Donnie Lawson, you give him a modified that's top of the line, I don't think you would ever see another winner. Like it'd just be him out there.
Right. Well, that's he's kind of one I always kind of wondered how he did it, because I don't know. They're fielding what? I think last year they were fielding five cars if you count Donnie
Yeah.
Sportsman. And so I don't
Yeah.
know how they do it financially if they all do it, but and I'm not
It
really sure how they got them stacked up this year. I think Caden bought his own car this year, so that probably helps his pocket out a little bit, but I've always wondered how he
Yeah,
how
well, Donnie's helped me a lot. I'll text him. I'm sure I annoy the hell out of him, but I'll text him questions and he always answers them like immediately. And he's a really good guy. I went over to his shop. It's their car, the boys' cars are nothing spectacular. Like they're old equipment. There's nothing special about them, but the Lawsons can make it special. They can make I have so much respect for that. Like they're running old stuff, but boy, they get all of it. Like it's
Well,
incredible what they can do with it.
right.
It's
Donnie and
incredible.
Don have been at it for a long time, so
Right.
and I think I don't know Blake, I guess, as well as the other two, but I know those two were always in the shop when they were little, so
Yes.
pretty much
Yep.
grew up with it. So
Yep.
I guess I want to. Now, this might be a little bit of a touchy subject. I guess I want to talk about, because I know you had health problems a little while ago. Is that?
Yeah, so I have cystic fibrosis. It's a disease that affects your lungs, your stomach. I was born with it. So I guess I'll back up. I started racing go-karts, and then off and on until I was about 15. At 15, well, I was actually like 17. I got a front wheel drive, raced at Woodhull, maybe like three races. That was it. And I got it from, I think, Josh Sharpstein. It was one of the Sharpsteins. Realized I couldn't afford it. I was in college at the time. There was no way I was going to make it work. So I sold it, but I always wanted to get back into it. And then I started, got out of college, started working, and I was getting tired. I was getting sick a lot. I was having to go to the hospital a lot. My health just started declining, and I didn't understand what was going on so much because it never happened before. I was always really healthy in high school, most of college. So I was healthy all up till then, and then I started getting hospitalizations, and my doctor explained to me, like, yeah, that's kind of like what's the deal is with cystic fibrosis. As you get older, you just get sicker. And so it got to the point where I had to stop working. I had to get on disability in 2018, maybe. And my lung function was down to about 28%. And they were I had to go in for a meeting with all my family and Ryan. He's like my brother. And we were working out the logistics of like what a lung transplant would look like. It was kind of looking like within the year that was going to happen. And we're kind of getting set up for like, okay, when we get the lungs, we're going to go to Pittsburgh. Going to have to stay there for like 6 months after the operation, make sure everything goes well. So just within 3 months of planning all this, they came out with a new medication called Trikafta. Three pills a day, and it raised my lung function up to like 45%. So it got me off that transplant area, so we don't have to worry about that for now. In the future, might have to get a transplant at some point, but and that's when I started talking to my wife. I'm like, I'm working now. I'd really like to race again. It's kind of like a bucket list thing. I've always loved racing. I just wanted to get back into it. And she's like, well, let's do it now. I mean, and financially it was like, this is going to be tough. But she's like, we don't know how much time there is until you'll need a transplant or until you get sick enough. You can't race, can't put the time in. So let's do it. So she was a huge in getting me, helping me get the confidence to go into it. And she puts up with me being gone all the time to the shop. And my wife, Sierra, she's incredible. She, yeah, helped me so much to get through that. But right now, everything's good so far. We're
Now,
back.
is that something that they knew that when you were born, or did it just kind of, did you get sick and then go to the hospital and then they found it then?
They always knew something. I always had stomach issues till I was about 3 years old, and they finally did a test. And the test, you get on a treadmill. It's kind of weird. You get on a treadmill and run and get a sweat, and then they test the salt in your sweat, the percentage. So like if I sweat a lot, I would just get like it looks like table salt on my forehead. That's so salty. And so like your salts when you sweat, you have a higher salt percentage in your cells. So your cells can break up the mucus. This is what the whole disease is. It's I don't have enough salt to break it sticks to my lungs and clogs everything up. That's all it is. So this Trikafta, it somehow adjusts your cells for salt intake and keeps more salt into the cell so the cell can break up the mucus better.
Huh,
But
okay.
yeah, kind of weird. But
So are you just kind of trying to, well, you said you talked to your wife, and are you just kind of taking it kind of day by day and let's have fun right now, and you never know what's down the road?
And then yeah, a couple years down the road I might not be racing, but right now and I can't make a full season. I don't think that'll ever happen because I still get sick from time to time. If I get a cold, it really kicks my butt. So I but if I can get 10, 15 races a year, hey, that's awesome. I'm on like the way I look at it, I'm on overtime right now. I'm on borrowed time. This is all extra. This is all awesome.
Right. Well, it's all for fun, and I guess I would say that a situation like that where you, because I think it wasn't too long ago, you actually had your sportsman, and you were about ready to sell it all, and
I had insurance problems, So they weren't going to pay, my insurance wasn't going to pay for that medication anymore. And that medication is $311,000 a year to buy it out of pocket. So I was like, yeah, it's not going to happen.
Right.
So luckily, we got a new insurance that would pay for it. And yeah, it all worked out, thankfully.
Right,
But
yeah, that's
yeah.
pretty. 311,000. I don't really know
Yeah.
how they how anybody could afford that out of,
Yeah.
that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But so day to day though, for the most part, you do all right. You're still.
Yep. Just got to do my breathing treatments and just keeping up with everything.
So what's that consist of? Breathing treatments. What do you do there?
So I have a machine that you put on a vest. It's actually back here. I don't know if you can see it. So you put on a vest and then tubes connect to it and it pulsates the air and just shakes the hell out of you. So it tries to shake that mucus off.
Okay.
And then I have nebulizers that I do that kind of like makes the mucus not so sticky and try to get it off at the same time and take a bunch of pills. But for the most part, like I have a, I kind of look at it differently now because I always, when I was going in the hospital all the time, I was kind of on like a cystic fibrosis floor in Rochester. And I saw just kind of art, and I felt bad for myself. I was like, I can't believe this. I can't believe how sick I am. This is stupid. But then during COVID, all the floors were full, and I got put on a unit that basically just people that didn't have COVID. So you had people with cancer, burn victims, all this other stuff. And it's like, oh, I can't, this is, I'm lucky. This is nothing. You see those people, it's like, God, you can't do it. It's not gonna, I don't know. You can't do anything for them. You feel terrible. It's like, ah, this is nothing. This
Right,
am.
you can't, maybe you stop feeling a little bit sorry for
Yeah.
yourself then.
Yeah.
And
It's a new perspective. It's not so bad.
well, I think that what I kind of hope is with, and I wanted to touch on that a little bit because I was kind of hoping that maybe people could hear it that maybe are going through what you went through at the beginning and were, how am I ever going to do this? How am I ever going to get back to normal? How am I ever,
Yeah.
and you kind of made the best out of really out a shitty situation.
Yeah. Well, I had those days, and my wife helped me through them. But yeah, there was those days I was like, I don't even care. I was like, yeah, I'm so sick. I don't even care about this. I don't want to, it's whatever. And yeah, those three pills. It's like I said, it's just borrowed time now. This is awesome. Everything from now on, just it's extra. This is yeah, it's great.
Right. So what, so great sportsman. You said you drove a four cylinder. Did you, I guess working with Ryan, did you always kind of know that open wheel was what you really wanted to go for?
Yeah, well, I wanted to go hobby stock, because it was more cost effective. But me and Ryan were talking, and we're like, the raising prices of hobby stocks, you're gonna be in it about what you are a crate a mid pack crate sportsman. So and Ryan's like, I can't help you with a hobby stock. I know nothing about that. We'd be starting from scratch. So he knows about the modifieds, and that's yeah, exactly helped me make my decision to go that route.
Right,
But
and I guess the hobby stocks are the same way, but I've always said, and you said you listened to the show, so I was talking when I talked to Austin Allen, you could pretty much go up to anybody up in that pit area and they're willing to help you at least
yeah.
steer you in the right direction.
Yep, of course. Yeah, there's a lot of good guys, especially in the crates. I mean, I'm sure the hobby socks, they have bird souls, and I'm sure, they help everyone. And there's a lot of good people at Woodhull. You ask anyone, they usually will help you right out.
Right, and I actually think the sportsmen are, I don't know how I want to phrase this because I don't really want it to sound bad on anybody else, but they've got more guys that have traveled.
Yeah.
It seems like they've got more guys that have been down to Florida, and whether it's,
Yep.
I guess maybe just Kenny Peoples and Tim Guild, but they, and that it's kind of nice to have something to bounce off of. Maybe if you do want to travel over to Outlaw or somewhere, maybe even Canandaigua one day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm sure Tim would open up a setup book for me. So, yeah, he's been awesome.
So how is it racing? 'Cause I know that you're not top dollar. You said it
Right.
before, you're racing on a budget. So how is it? Are you just trying to have fun and whatever happens, happens?
Yeah, last year was horrible. I think I probably got the record for most DNFs at Woodhull last year. I think I raced 12 races and 10 of them I DNF'd in. It was ridiculous. And I
I
think,
will say not all of them were your fault.
yeah, of course. But and I think it was because I was trying to save my equipment. I was trying not to push the issue. I was just trying to ride. And I think that caused me more problems than it did anything. I was just trying to survive. I wasn't, yeah, it, but so I, yeah, I'm hoping this year's a little better. But yeah, I've never had a new tire on my car. It's pretty low budget, and I, for as low budget as it is, it's, and I owe a lot of this to Ryan, and Tim, but they, for as good as, like, the car's good for what we got in it. It's incredible that we do as, or as fast as we are.
Right. Well, that's the one thing that I have always appreciated about Woodhull is it seems that the lower budgeted teams can compete there a little bit more. And I know Ryan won a modified feature, and I don't think he'd have any. I don't think he could win one over at Outlaw with what he's got, just money wise in the motor.
Yeah, just the motor alone, yeah, it's
Right.
not gonna happen.
Yeah, because I don't even want to know what a big block, because I'm guessing over there you'd almost have to run a big block. I think they pretty much all do.
I think a lot of them do. Some get away with small block. Yeah, like what, like Danny Johnson and like Tyler Seary has in his three cars, and yeah, Ryan doesn't have. But what, who can afford that? Let, like they got 20, 30 thousand in a motor. It's like, what working man
Right.
that's, you know, doesn't own like a construction company or something big is going to be
Sure.
able to afford that? I don't know.
So does Ryan have a car this year, or
Yeah, yep, we were getting it ready the other day. He's getting excited finally. He was
is he
pretty, he's, yeah, he's pretty ran down. Last year he had motor problems the whole year, and where he thinks he found what was going on. So yeah, we're hoping to be both be there Saturday if we
Saturday.
run.
And
But
he's kind of like Brian Doolittle too. They both, I think he does his own motors, right?
yeah, he builds his own stuff. I think this is the third motor build he's done, and he's learning everything. I it's impressive. I, he when he told me, he's like, yeah, I'm thinking I'm gonna build my own motor this year. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is gonna go well. But the first year it was pretty good. I was like, holy crap, I can't. He just takes stuff on and gets it done. That's, I don't know, it's impressive.
Yeah, he must be a sharper guy than I am, because I don't think I
Yeah.
can figure out how everything
Yeah,
works.
me neither.
What do you know what did has his dad always built motors?
No, his
No.
dad raced. It was like, I think, the amateurs back in the day. Yeah, his grandpa built motors, but I don't think anything that
Big.
big.
He really is just kind of learning on the fly.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah, I would say so. That
Yeah.
is impressive.
Yep.
So have you ever thought about maybe learning and maybe building your own motor for a modified, or are you just pretty happy with the Sportsman and
No. So I was talking this over with Ryan. The prices of everything now. If you want a crate motor, so I priced a Donath crate motor, ready to go, carb, everything, just bolted in. And it was like $15,000 for a 602 crate. Okay, so you can build probably a decent modified motor for that. That's going to be okay at Woodhull. Like, you know, that's crazy money for what a crate motor is. It's supposed to be just a stock 350, and it's the prices of everything. That might be another reason, like in a couple years, I don't know if I can keep affording that. It's that's crazy that just how much everything's exploded in price.
Yeah, and it I hate to say it, but I don't ever really see it going down. And I do wonder about these. I worry about a lot of racetracks, because I just don't know how many people can afford to really do it. And then when you don't have the people doing it, nobody goes to the racetracks, and then
I mean, a hobby stock now, they got them for sale all day, $10,000, $15,000. That's about what I have in mine. but I have older equipment. I have a my so to build we took 3 cars to build my car. We found this guy that was selling a 2002 Bicknell, but it was ready to go minus transmission. So we took that car, and then we pulled the motor, rear end, all that stuff out, and swapped it over to a car I got from Mike Buchanan. And then that was the first car. And I bought a transmission separate, but it had an old 8-bolt rear end, which is like, 2010 old stuff. But we made it work for the first year. My motor's still a 2015. The guy we bought it from, he's like, "Well, it ran when I put it up." And it's like, "Okay, yeah, I've heard that before." And didn't have any oil in it either, so we were like, "Okay." So, but we put oil in it, fired it up, runs, but it knocks. It's knocked for 3 years, but we keep running it. The big joke between me and Ryan's like, "Oh, it's just the water pump. Don't worry about it." But yeah, it's not the water pump, but it still hangs on. But by the rules, you can't rebuild them. You can't, go inside them at all. So that's kind of what we got till it decides to puke someday.
Right. Well, that's what I was kind of wondering that too with the modified. If almost at Woodhull where you don't need that high horsepower, if it's almost
Right.
more cost effective to go to a modified, because then if you learn, you can kind of pull it apart and fix what needs to be done.
Exactly. And that's where Ryan is like, yeah, he blew up a motor last year, but it was like, I think he has like $1,500 on what he had to rebuild. So, okay, well, you can at least pull it apart. You got the block, you got the heads. I mean, unless something catastrophic happens, but yeah, it's kind of on the edge of, do you go run modifieds and run? I guess the way to look at it is, do you want a top tier crate motor? Or do you want a 5th to 10th place modified motor? I guess it's like, yeah, whatever you think.
I always kind of wondered about how people can afford those, because I know, there are people there that every week they just got new stuff, and I, boy, it's got to hurt the pocket. But I
Yeah.
guess if you get the right sponsors, you know.
Yeah. I was talking to Donnie Lawson at the beginning of the year, and he made a lot of sense when he said, he's like, I was telling him, of course he knows the price of stuff, but he told me, yeah, Kyle, but you can make up a 25 horsepower difference in crate motors if you're running an old crate motor. You're not gonna make up 100, 200 horsepower difference in a mod motor. Like, you're not gonna be competitive with that. So I guess it's preference. If you want to be competitive, you're gonna have to pay go crates. But yeah, I don't know. I'm on the limbo right now of what to do.
Right. So I got at last year you had black and blue, and your number's 8. Is there any specific reason behind the number 8 or
It's when I was little, I loved Dale Jr., wore the backwards Bud hat in school. My carpet in my room was red. Had Dale Jr. everything, man, and that's where I got it from. I just my go kart, my first go kart was red with an 8 on it, so that's where it came from. My front wheel drive number was 99 for a guy that helped me with karts and passed away. But then I went back to the 8 once I went to crates, just like a throwback to the go karts.
Right. I'm actually kind of surprised you don't see more eights, because I know a lot of Dale Jr. about our age is when,
Yeah,
and they're
he was the
kind of the
man.
kids getting into racing. I kind of
Yep.
figured you'd see more eights, but you really don't see eights like you do some of these other numbers.
Right. Cole Yauss used to have it back in the day a couple years ago, but he quit racing. But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I know. I guess if you get bigger, I know Rich Scalata had it for
Yep.
big blocks, but other than that, I really.
Brent Crawford runs it in
Yep.
Street Stocks over to Outlaw. Yep.
So I guess do you mind touching on the new I don't do you I know you got the new body. Is it a secret, the colors?
Oh no, we're going white,
No.
black, and red this year.
All right.
And I got a bunch of new sponsors. It looks really good. We
It
had
does.
Teresa at Graphics Express do it. She did a hell of a job with it.
So what led to the color change? Just something different?
I never liked the blue.
No.
My chassis was blue, so it kind of limited my options.
Oh.
I didn't want to put like a red body on a blue car or anything. So yeah, once I bought Tim's chassis, it's black. So I kind of freed up what I could do with things. So yeah, I went back to the white, red, and black. And Tim's inner tin was all red. So yeah, I kind of
I think
set it
Tim's been
off.
running red for,
Well, yeah,
boy,
ever.
I don't, I, for his sake, I'd hate to even put a year on it.
Yep.
The body, is that a new body or is it the same body?
Same body that Tim ran.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a cost thing too. So I bought the car frame body, had the floor in it, slider, and bars. So yeah, if you want a new body, if you were to go to Bicknell and say, "Hey, I want a brand new body," it's like almost 4 grand or something like that. It's just out of this world. So whatever used we can run, yeah, it's kind of anything that doesn't affect the speed. If it's just for looks, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Can you build your own or no?
You can. I know Kevin DeCamp builds his. He's a buddy of mine. He runs the 22 Crate Sportsman. He and his bodies look gorgeous, but you got to have a sheet metal brake and a bunch of parts to put it together. But
Yeah,
yeah.
I never knew. I know some of the rules are kind of fishy on what you can and can't do, and
Yeah.
to be honest with you, I can't tell you I've really ever read the rule book from front to back.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
Maybe some procedural stuff that to look up here and there, but nothing really too. I don't really
Right.
do the deep dive on them, I don't really ever need to.
Yep.
And
Yep.
not to mention, I'll tell anybody this, I don't know anything about the car, so
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard when you're, man, I was at Woodhull for since I was a little kid. We used to be down in the turn four running around in the bottom of the grass, rolling around in the grass, you know. Since I've been at Woodhull all these years, and I didn't know anything going into buying this car. Ryan taught me everything about it. But if you told me to go look at the street stock, I'd be like, I don't know what I'm looking at. It's so hard if you're not in it all the time to know everything, but
Right. Well, that's what I always, because every once in a while people come to me and say something about the rules and all this and that, and I say, you guys would all hate me if I was a tech inspector. You know why? Because you
Right.
could run a big block in a crate and I wouldn't even know the difference.
Yep.
And you know
Yep.
what? There's a lot of times I don't even know if I care to know the difference.
Yeah, that's a good thing not to know. Yeah. Let someone else deal with that.
Also, I don't know if you want to let this cat out of the bag, but I did talk to Austin Allen.
Oh
If you're catching my drift, I talked to a bigger guy and he said he's got a suit for me.
good deal. There you go. That'd be
So
perfect.
Kyle has graciously at the end of the year told me that I could hop in after the races one night. He's gonna put in a big seat because look at me and look at him. You can tell I'm gonna need the bigger seat. But so I and I really did always say that as a joke. I never really once actually wanted to, but
Hey, you said it now.
You
You're
kind
in
of talked me into it.
it. Yeah. No, I'm really excited. I was kind of in your position. Like, you love racing so much. You're there every freaking weekend, and you just wonder, like, I wonder what that's like. And I finally was able to do it, and I'm excited to let you try it. I just got to
This
keep
is.
the car alive till the end of the year.
Well, this has always been my thing, is I don't want to be the reason, because I don't have the money to run them. I always said I don't want to be the reason that somebody can't race. I don't want you, because I know there's probably a few people that would let me hop in theirs, and I wouldn't go 100 miles an hour. I'm smarter than that, but my biggest fear is always, like, I was asking you questions
Piling
about the transmission. I don't know a damn thing about them, So
Yeah.
my biggest fear was always something mechanical breaking, because then I'm like, oh crap, was that my fault?
Right. Yeah, I don't blame you. Mechanically they're pretty tough. You'll be all right. It'll be good.
Yeah, just.
I think you'll be surprised. They almost drive themselves. If you're not really pushing it, you won't have any issues. But
Yeah, well.
I'm excited to see you get in it and I'm actually the most excited to see you try to figure out how to move it, because there's such a pain with the hand clutch and everything getting out of the pits. Once you get it in high gear, you're good, but
Well,
getting it there.
you haven't even touched the best part. We could probably do a Facebook Live. This would be the best part.
There you go.
Me trying to climb into it.
Yeah, there you go.
You
We'll get some
know,
GoPros going and yeah.
I mean, because they're right in the middle. I got a lot of ground to cover, and I kind of got short, squatty legs, you know. I'm not skinny like you. I can't really maneuver my way in there.
But I always wish someone would have been like, in the wildest dream, someone would be like, yeah, go try this, and it'd be cool to see you go out there, see how excited
But
you are or scared.
well, that's why I said I'm gonna be like Ricky Bobby out there, and
Oh,
granted, we'll do it at the end of the race, so there's nothing to run into, but besides the front stretch wall. But
yeah, for sure.
I if there was, you'd be like Ricky Bobby. Are those the other cars?
Yeah, and like I told you, we got all winter to fix it, so no big deal.
Well, that doesn't mean I want you working all winter. If you're doing it for you, then that's different. But if it's for me, that's just, I don't want to be the reason that you got to spend all winter bending stuff back or fixing something.
I do it every week. Seems like
Well,
I'm in a wreck every week, so.
I've always said, for some reason, it always seems like the same guys that have this hard luck. And I always said that in the modifieds, I always said if Donnie Lawson didn't have bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all. And I felt the exact same way about you last year. It just seems like bad luck tends to follow the same person around all year.
Yeah, I was watching Donnie when he was running his he won the crate race over to Outlaw this year, the big Mike Jackson Memorial. And I was just waiting for something to break on the car. He had such a big lead, and I'm like, yep, this something's gonna break.
Yeah,
But
and he's another one. He just has sportsmen's figured out, like, to, and I know he, I know he does well in modified and all that, but it seems like he can run with any sportsman, and
And I think that's where what he was talking about when we were in the garage is like, you can that 15, 20 horsepower difference is such a big deal to close rather than the modifieds where if unless the track's really dry, you gotta have the big money to
Yeah,
win
and I
races.
always know that Donnie's always been one to run the bottom too, and over there it seems like he puts it wherever it needs to be.
It's
I always thought
impressive.
I'd pick on him because he'd ride the bottom at Woodhull, then he goes over to Outlaw. Caden's kind of the same way. Caden, maybe it's just the way Woodhull's set up, but.
Yeah, all your speeds right around the bottom. The first time, so when they ran that big money race for the crates, second to last race of the year,
The 4,000 to win. That one. Yep.
I got around a couple people on the high side. Once I hit the uke tire and had to start from the back, I got around a couple people on the high side, but you gotta be right on the bottom there.
Right.
It's,
Well,
yeah.
I've always said there. I think there's really only two people. Well, maybe three that I ever really remember figuring it out, and that seems to be Kenny Peoples and Billy Van Pelt. And
Yeah. Yeah.
I will throw Andy Bicchetti in there too, because I don't
Yeah,
know if
he was
people
good.
remember when the Short Track Super Series was there, but Andy Bicchetti did have the high side figured out pretty well.
Yeah, and then the Matt Sheppard and Billy Van Pelt battle was like Matt Sheppard handled like garbage, and once he got on the straight though, he made all the time back up on Billy just 'cause of the power, but I always remember like the car did not handle at all for him and he still was keeping up just motor, but it
Right.
was
Well, and
impressive.
he's kind of one of that. Well, he's probably the man to beat, but he's one that he's gonna make it work, for the most part. There's not very many times you're gonna see him outside the top five, top 10.
Yep, for sure. For sure.
Well, Kyle, I think we're pretty much running up against it. I don't want to keep you too long here. What do you got anything else, or I'll let you run down your sponsors, but if you don't have anything else, then you
Yeah.
can go ahead and do that.
No, I got a lot of people I gotta thank. First, we talked about on the whole podcast, but Ryan Tracy helps me out a ton. The car wouldn't be ready, and Ryan and my dad are my crew. They're the people that are there every week, and in the shop. They take so much time. It would never be done. It could not happen without those guys. I gotta thank my stepmom Lorraine. She always brings cookies to the track. Huge bonus.
You can tell
She
her to
always
stop in
makes,
the announcer's tower.
yeah. She makes them before the race, or but like before the season starts freezing them. She'll have dozens and dozens of cookies to bring to the track every weekend. I gotta thank my mom. She helped me out with the car this year a lot. My stepdad Steve Knapp. He's gonna be racing in the Crate Sportsman's this year. I'm excited to race with him. I got to thank the Brewer family, Bill, Jolynn, Dayton. They gave me all of their used tires for free last year and the year before. I think I solely ran on their rear tires all year. They'd give me them, I'd work them back into shape, and that saved, a tire's $260 now. So it's so expensive to buy new. They helped me so much. Tim Guild with all the setups, Donnie by answering my texts and not telling me to go pound salt. And then my sponsors, D&L Disposal, which is my dad's business, the Kill Buck in Canisteo. My cousin and his wife bought that, Jason and Jana Altman. They helped me a ton this year. The Feed Mill with Steph and Steve Cady. I feel so bad for them. They built that beautiful store, beautiful restaurant, and then it gets taken out by the flood, and they rebuild it, put all new stuff in, make it gorgeous again, gets taken out by the flood again. I don't think I have would ever have the work ethic of those guys. Like, it's incredible what they do.
Well, you would think after a few times you're just
Yeah, I would give up, but they just keep plugging. They're like, you know what? It is what it is. We're gonna build it back. It'll be better. It'll be nicer. It's incredible. They helped me out a lot. I really appreciate them. And then this year we have the Jasper Flower Company. Nate Stevens owns them. They're right by the old Bullock store. He grows beautiful flowers. And it's
and
been
Mother's
really
Day's coming
cool.
up.
Yes.
Mother's Day
Yep.
is Sunday, so make sure you go get your flowers.
Yep. The first flood, I think he got his whole field taken out too. But he's back, and yeah, it's been really cool getting to know him. And at any little, I think it's any little amount, it just adds up so much. Especially, I appreciate it so much. It's such a big help. Anything, it's been huge. And yeah, my sponsors have been just awesome this year. I know I'm forgetting people. Herb Wright, he always helps me. He sells me parts pretty cheap, and I really appreciate him too. But I think that's it. I think
One
got
other
everyone.
thing, and I went out of order again. I always forget something, but how'd you come up with your business?
Oh yeah, so this is how I found my race car. So I was looking for a side gig because me and my wife sat down. And we're like, yeah, this money wise, this is gonna be tight,
Race
and
cars are expensive.
yeah, so I'm like, well, I can mow lawns, but I don't really have the time. And I was thinking, I'm like, I don't know. And then this opportunity came up. So this woman was trying to get rid of her business. It was picking up dog poop, doggy duty care in people's yards. And I'm like, I could take an extra 100, $200, whatever. And she's like, well, I just don't want to leave my customers hanging if you want to take it over. So I took it over, and she sent me all the paperwork and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is more than a couple hundred dollars. This will be like really helpful towards the race team. So, yeah, I started doing that, picking up dog poop. If you need your dog poop cleaned up for spring, I'm your guy.
How do you do that? Is that daily, weekly? What?
I'm doing it every day. I even do it on race day. Yeah, I grew it a little bit. I'm probably up to like 25, 30 yards a week. So typical days, like go to work, get done at 5, go pick up my houses, get home 6:30, grab something real quick and head to the shop, and come home at like 9:10. My shop's about 30 minutes away, just right outside of Woodhull in Hedgesville. And yeah, so it's busy, but it's awesome. It's incredible. I get to do it. I'm so lucky that with everything. I'm lucky
Well,
my wife lets me do it, and
I would
yeah.
say that you got a pretty good wife because it seems like she's putting
Yeah.
up with you.
Yep. And really good friends too. Like I said, I and my dad, I would never be at the track. I couldn't get it done. It wouldn't happen.
Well, I'm
Yeah.
the same way, so I understand the dad helping you out a lot.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle, I think that's gonna do it. I just want everybody to remind everybody, please rate this 5 stars, download on Apple and Spotify podcasts. I don't really know why, but it seems like the downloads really do help a lot. And then on YouTube, Woodhall Raceway 64, on TikTok, Woodhall Raceway at Facebook. Kyle, thank you very much.
Yeah, no. Have a good one.